Well, I guess a lot of you are taking this series very seriously because, you know, the nice birthday cards outnumbered the nasty ones this year. I can handle the wounds, family. I can handle those wounds. You know, as part of the tradition, as I like to share with you a few of the cards, not the nice ones, because they only mean something to me. But this particular birthday card says, "Birthday paradise. I thought 2 weeks in Hawaii would be nice for your birthday. I'll give you a call when I get back. Enjoy your birthday." And then, "You are not over the hill, bless you. Just keep telling yourself that. People your age are always repeating themselves anyway. Happy birthday." "Don't worry about being another year older. Do you hear anybody kidding you about your age? Of course not. Have you ever heard any snide, insulting jokes about getting one more year older or being over the hill? Certainly not. But then the hearing is usually the first to go. Bless your heart." And then, "Sure hope you like your birthday present." Notice the nice young man on it. "Sure hope you like your birthday present. I picked it out myself." Can you see where the finger is? The initials are Eugene and Annette. So anyway. It's kind of fun getting older. Well, as we jump back in and complete this series on Jesus Wants to Heal Your Wounds, I hope that you will join me with a positive, spiritual, mental attitude, that you'll go with me in a positive way to accomplish the end that we have here before us. Jesus wants to heal our wounds. So he's given us a step-by-step way to accomplish that. Some of us, unfortunately, have held on to hurts. We find ourselves continually looking in the rearview mirror, reminding ourselves of how that hurt came about. Who gave us that wound? We need to let these things go. So the first thing he told us that we needed to do was to admit our hurt. In our deep personal experience time with Jesus, talk about it with him. Let it out. He already knows all about it. He knows more about it than you probably remember. But he wants you to talk to him about this particular hurt that has created this wound in your life. And then he wants us, as he told us, to let go of our offender, the person who did this to us, or the people that did it to us. It's important for us to remember what Jesus very clearly said to us. "I want you to love your enemy. I want you to love on them. I want you to seek their best and their highest good, even if that calls for another sacrifice on your part." He wants us to love them. And not only that, but to keep them, if we need to keep them in our minds, then to do it this way. We pray for them. We pray for them. And I have found that as I followed these details in past years, I found that in praying for them, I began to have a heart for them. I cared about them. And so I believe it's a process that the Holy Spirit will give you too, who are still holding on to a wound that Jesus wants to heal you of. He wants us to replace old lies with Jesus' truth. Some of us have these recordings that go on and on and on in our heart and our minds. He wants us to replace them with new recordings of the sweet things that have been taking place in your life. He wants us to remember those things. Even put them on Blu-ray DVDs and play those over and over again. The rich things that he has brought into your life. So as we continue forward on page 4, we're going to look at the fourth thing that he wants you and I to do, to find ourselves able to work with him and having these wounds healed. The fourth thing is to refocus on the future. Refocus on the future. We have been learning for months and months and months that where your focus goes, your energy will flow. So this is what is so important. You see how previous lessons build on new lessons. We need to refocus on the future. So I would like you to say with me, because Jesus wants to heal my wounds, I need to refocus on the future. Would you say that with me? Because Jesus wants to heal my wounds, I need to refocus on the future. You must get your attention off the past. Stop looking in the side view, the rear view mirror. But you need to focus your attention off the past and on what Father God is wanting to do now in your present and in your future. This is where our focus needs to go. So how do you do that? Well, in part, but only in part. You will find more ways to accomplish this as you spend time with him in your own DPE. But in Job, we find a way to begin to do this. In Job 11, verses 13 through 18, we can extract the following principles to help us with this three-part plan. Looking at Job 11, 13, you see it there in your notes. If you prepare your heart, and this is something we need to do every day, every morning that we get up, we would do well to begin, if we haven't already, our deep personal experience with him that would begin early in the morning, go forward throughout the day, wherever it is we find ourselves during that day, as we invoke our gnosko, this intimate time with Christ time. If you prepare your heart through confession and repentance, and I trust you did that this morning to worship him so that you could worship him in spirit and in truth, your sins forgiven that you know took place during the week or even this morning on your way. You know, there were times in decades past when as a young husband, I was very self-promoting, very selfish, and would find on our way to church to worship him that Kathy and I would have a disagreement. And now I'm going to go in and worship him? I thought I was, but only to discover after many DPEs, I wasn't, because I was in sin. He's not going to receive worship from me if I come to him filled with sin. I need to come confessed and repentant. If you prepare your heart, confess and repent, you will stretch out your hand toward him. You can stretch out your hand. It's not a fist. You stretch out your open hand to him. You come to him in righteousness. You come to him fully confessed, repentant, so that you can honestly worship him in spirit and in truth. So you stretch out your hand toward him. If iniquity is in your hand, you've got it clenched, put it far away from you. He's talking about take this sin that you came to church with and give it a throw. Toss it. Toss it as far away from you as you possibly can. There was one year that I did a message on this particular word, and it's about tossing our sins far away from us. So I had these wadded up pieces of paper, and I started throwing them at all of you. Some of you were here. But the next Sunday, because our youth pastor was not Eugene, he thought about it. It'd be cool if when I went back over that the next Sunday, that you all had your wads of paper to throw them back. And back then we were three times the size we are, and it looked like a beautiful wonder, white wonderland. So if iniquity is in your hands, put it far away, throw them far away. Let not injustice dwell in your tents. To confession and repentance, get rid of your iniquity. Surely then you will lift up your face without a blemish. Having confessed and repented, you will lift up your face without shame. Without shame. You will be secure and will not fear. I mean, you'll have confidence before the Lord. I come before him. He knows I love him. He knows that I have confessed and repented, and I know that he has forgiven me. You will forget your misery. You'll forget your trouble. You'll forget, in our case, about this bruise that we have that he wants to heal, this wound that we've been holding on to. Forget your misery. You will remember it as water that has passed away. You know, I was thinking of this and what he was implying when years ago Kathy and I and the children were at Yosemite, and we were at the Yosemite Lodge visiting. We couldn't afford to stay there, but we were walking the grounds, and there was this little bridge that went over this little stream. And up the stream, I remember there was this blossom from a flower, and it was working its way towards us on the top of the water, and it went under our feet, under the bridge, and kept on going and going, and then it was finally out of sight. Your misery, if we do these things that he's been teaching us, if we work with God the Holy Spirit, these wounds are going to be going down that stream, and they will be out of sight. They'll be gone. They'll be gone. And your life will be brighter than the noonday. You know, how thrilling to come out of the darkness. Out of the darkness for so long that some of you, and I know I was in. And you will find yourself in the noonday brightness. Its darkness will be like the morning, a beautiful sunrise. If you've ever been to the Hawaiian Islands and been out on Lanai and been able to look at the sun as it comes up, and all the beautiful shapes and all the colors of the flowers and the trees and the shapes. It's so thrilling to see what's going on. And in this case, to know that our hurt, our wound is being healed, or it is now healed. And you will feel secure because there is hope. There is hope. Having confessed and repented and seeing your wounds being healed and moving away, and here you find yourself loving that person who hurt you so badly, and you're praying for that person, and now you have all this hope. You're hopeful, you're filled with optimism, you're being positive about what's ahead of you in your present as well as in your future, and you're encouraged. All this by the wonderful character of the Holy Spirit who lives in us and brings us through these things as we obey him. And you will be secure because there is hope. You will look around and take your rest securely. It's done. It's finished. The wound has been taken care of. So here is the three-part plan. One, put your heart right. Put your heart right. That's your fill-in. Even if other persons do not do what is right, this person who hurt you or these people who hurt you, even if they don't do what's right, maybe they're totally oblivious. Maybe they're dead. Maybe they've left the state. Whatever it may be, even if they don't do what's right, you make sure you, with the strength of the Holy Spirit, forgive them and pray for them and let them go. You set them free. Get it? Good. Second of all, reach out to Father God. Ask him to heal your wound if you haven't already. You know, for the longest time, I didn't turn to Abba, will you help me with my feelings that I have toward my father, my earthly father? Will you help me with every time I hear something about the Vietnam War and the NVA taking advantage of our troopers and more of our kids dying, more of my contemporaries? Father, heal this wound. And he has. He has. I have friends now that were part of the North Vietnamese Army. We were hateful towards each other. We wanted to kill one another. That has no place in my life. It has had no place in my life since actually making these action steps to heal my wounds. Third, face the world again. Do not pull back into a shell. Don't do like some of our church family. It breaks my heart that something awful comes into their life and then they say, I'm not going to meet with these people. I'm not going to be here with these people. I'm going to stay home. I'm going to stay home and I'm going to complain. I'm going to have a pity party. I know what that's all about. Not to talk about Ronnie so much, but for a week and a half, I had a major pity party. I was being selfish. I was being self-promoting. I was amazed at Kathy. It bugged me that she wasn't having the same party. Nobody came to that party but me. I believe the Lord was knocking, and I told him he couldn't come in. But after a week and a half, and during that week and a half, I was still coming here, and you were still attempting to love on me. And it worked. It worked. I didn't go into the shell. I didn't build walls. I didn't hide at home like one of our folks has been doing since the death of someone in their family. He won't take our phone calls anymore. He won't show up at the men's Bible study anymore. He wants to wallow in all of this gross pain. And I tried to witness to him. He wouldn't have any of it. So we have a three-part plan that we can take from Job. You know what Job went through. He lost everything. His health, all of his kids. All of his kids. All of his wealth. And he didn't lift up a clenched fist to our Heavenly Father. Remember, admit your hurt, release your offender, replace old lies with Jesus' truth, refocus on the future, and number five, get support from others. Please, get support from others. Say with me aloud, Jesus wants to heal my wounds, so I need to get support from others. Jesus wants to heal my wounds, so I need to get support from others. I know some people, they want to get rid of the pain without involving other people. Many pastors particularly do not want to take the risk of opening up to other people about their pain. Look at your notes. You cannot get rid of pain without support from others. No, you can't. We get well when we demonstrate humility, not pride. We get well when we demonstrate humility, not pride. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, and though a man might prevail against one who is alone, just maybe, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. The more cords that are wrapped together around one cord makes it stronger. I was thinking when I was a young officer, I was walking a footbeat, and it was after 1 o'clock in the morning. And I came across a young man, about 6'3", a little bit taller than me. But he was sitting in the shadows, and he was just as calm as he could be. But obviously, he shouldn't have been in this open-air mall at that hour. So I approached him, asked him some questions, and I could tell that he was loaded on something. So I put out a call for backup. I didn't care how many came, and I didn't say how many I wanted. I just put out a call. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, there are times when things are really slow. So six other police officers arrived. Now you would think, boy, that's overkill. No, it wasn't. This young man, he was on PCP. One of the other officers that arrived to back me up was a narcotics expert. And he says, I believe he's on PCP and we have to be very careful because he's mellow now. But if he goes off on us, he will have superhuman strength. Guess who went off on us and had superhuman strength? Well, he went to Santa Monica Hospital bloodied from head to toe. Head to toe. And he earned it all because he took all of these police officers with him. And we all had abrasions and cuts from trying to subdue him. I'm glad I had all of this backup. This one man would have either beaten me near death, or I may have had to pull my sidearm and use deadly force. An enemy might defeat one person, but two people together can defend themselves. A rope that is woven together with many strands is much stronger than just one. We need people to come and support us. That's why it's not just people in a church who need a small group. Pastors need a small group. They need to be involved with other shepherds in particular, because no one knows a cop like another cop. No one knows a pastor like another pastor. But at the same time, shepherds need to be involved in fun things, in get-togethers with their church family. Action step. A small group can help spur you on when you feel like giving up. It can strengthen you, get you up, encourage you, give you hope, give you optimism, etc. Such as a men's or ladies' Bible study. Guys, gals, you know what happens in your group. You can share things there that are just for that group of people, just for you girls, just for you guys. It's important to have a discipler, and you can share with him or her. Or wouldn't it be nice to go back to being able to have supper sixes or supper eights again and be able to get together and enjoy one another? And after the first couple of those supper get-togethers, then we feel more confident and safe and able to ask people in that supper six or eight to pray for us about something that's going on in our life, such as a wound that we presently are nursing. And core value teams, they're important. It's not just important to come together to do a mission with one another, be on mission, but it's important to come together and, as you know one another, as you're serving with each other, to know each other to that point to where you want to come beside that person when you understand they have a hurt and help them. So remember, admit your hurt, release the offender, replace the old lies with Jesus' truth, refocus on the future, and get support from others. And number six, help others. Help them. Help these people that you have a sensing something's going on in their life and they could use your help. I mean, it's one thing to help them. It's like my, you know, Kelly and Vicky, they're home today because they have COVID. Vicky not only has COVID, but our Lord, thank you for answering our prayers. She has kidney stones during the week, but the pain has gone away for the time being. But they both have COVID. So wouldn't it be nice, yes, to bring them some food or to call them up and say, is there anything else I can go pick something up for you at the pharmacy or whatever it might be. But when it comes to our wounds, these things that we've been nursing for such a long time, it's important for us to be available, to come alongside, to help them, because this is part and parcel why you're here, why you're still on planet Earth as a Christian. So I'd like you to say aloud with me in just a moment, Jesus wants to heal my hurts, so I need to help others. Jesus wants to heal my hurts, I can help others. So as you look at your notes, never waste a hurt. That may sound weird, but own it. Never waste a hurt. Use your experiences to help others. No one can minister to another woman who recently had an abortion and is feeling guilty about that than another woman who has had an abortion and has gone through the process of getting well and knowing at this juncture, after her confession and her repentance, Jesus loves her. She has been forgiven. She can come alongside this other woman. No other person can help a widow or a widower than someone who has been a widow or a widower. There's nothing new under the sun. But what you have gone through, you can be used of the Lord to be a blessing in the life of someone else who will be going through it. You'll remember Mary Lou Smith, long before she moved to Idaho. Mary Lou, shortly after I first met her and she was a part of the church, she has 4 sons. 2 of them were twins. One of the twins was murdered. That's when I met her. I met her at the hospital, was in the room with her for a long time. With the body of her son. You would think that would be helpful to me now, many, many, many years later, and saying goodbye to Ronnie. Not at all. Not at all. It's until you go through it, you have no idea of what it's like. But Mary Lou can minister to me as a friend, as a part of GHCC, and as someone who has lost a son. We need to help others. The fact is, here's your fill-in, Father God will give you many opportunities to use what he teaches you to serve other people in your life. To serve other people in your life. This is what we call redemptive suffering. You might want to write that down. It's called redemptive suffering. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 are not in your notes. 2 Corinthians 1, 6 and 7. And here the Apostle Paul is sharing with us this morning. And he is opening up to crystal clearness something for us when he says, in our trouble, God has comforted us. Paul is saying, in the troubles I've had and the guys that have been troubling following with me around Asia and Asia Minor and so forth, we've had a lot of trouble. We've met robbers. There's been shipwrecks. We have gone through it. But he says, in our trouble, God has comforted us. Now catch what he says. And this too, to help you. What they've gone through, near-death experiences, they have gone through that and been comforted of God, and now God is going to use them to come alongside these people in Corinth to share with them how they are going to now be able to comfort them in the same way God had comforted them. In our trouble, God has comforted us, and this too, to help you, to show you from our personal experience how God will tenderly, tenderly comfort you when you undergo these same sufferings. He will give you the strength to endure. Think of the biggest trouble you have had to face. Think of the most magnanimous pain you've had to go through, caused by other people, by evil, if you will, in this world. Things you've had to endure, not only physically and emotionally, but mentally. Father God doesn't want you to waste that hurt. He wants you to redeem it. Redeem your suffering and then use it to come alongside someone else who's going through the same thing. You could always help people more through your weaknesses than your strengths. Telling someone all the things you're good at isn't necessarily going to help them with their pain. But sharing with them how Abba has brought you through a similar pain may lead them out of what they think is death to life. You'll be sharing with them that positive life transformation that you came through because of this wound and working it through with God the Holy Spirit. Now, this is kind of a break. Is that? Is it Eddie? He said he was coming yesterday. Hi, Eddie! Now, for those of you who have come to GHCC before COVID, this is Eddie Thomas. This is his first Sunday back in 2 years. He is the most favored Special Olympian in all the world. And we love him to death. And I love him because he pulls out his recorder and he seriously listens to your shepherd like those of you asleep. Don't. Good to have you back, Eddie. Eddie's one of those who's had a positive life change because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Eddie has lost his mommy and his daddy during COVID. He has gone through a wonderful, positive life change, our PLTs. So these pains, these wounds that I've been asked to go through, people have approached me, I guess because they feel safe, and asked me what it was like. What did I do? How did Jesus and I manage to go through the particular wound and to come forth successfully? And not be bitter, and not find oneself holding on to anger, but being able to walk in life with peace and patience and with kindness and with joy and such things, even when asked to go through the roughest of experiences. Father God wants you to use your rough experiences, your wound, to use it to come alongside others and help them come forth from it. The Apostle Paul, he writes to Father God in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. He says, and this just fills me with warmth in my own being. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be Him. Blessed be Him who has allowed people to hunt Him down and try to kill Him. Blessed be this one who has taken him out of Phariseeism and brought him into the family of God. Blessed be this one who has walked with him every day and protected him from those who stoned him near to death, to those who threw him in prison, who mistreated him. He says, blessed, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father, listen to this, this one who extra-biblical literature describes the apostle. It describes him as bald, bow-legged, and he had scars from the top of his bald head to the bottoms of his feet. Scars all over him. You understand? These are physical wounds that come along with emotional wounds. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. All comfort. Who comforts us in all our afflictions. Not just certain ones, not just the special ones, all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Now, if you're in the midst of something, or when this next major trauma comes into your life, would you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and read this over and over and over again to where you own it, and you find yourself meditating on it. It is yours. Because he will be there with you in your DPE, your deep personal experience. This is what your gnosko time is all about. This time of intimacy with the Godhead. It is a marvelous, most wonderful thing that takes place. He comforts us whenever we suffer. That is why whenever other people suffer, we are able to comfort them by using the same comfort we have received from Father God. Abba Father will redeem your pain if you will let him. Action step. Expose your inner struggle with your hurts to the physician of your soul. Get into that DPE. Stay there as long as you can. Like revenge, hurt that produces unforgiveness is a malignancy. It's like a cancer. Is a malignancy. We dare not ignore it. Let's invite the great physician to use his scalpel to dig deeply to excise the malignancy. Final fact. If ignored, our hurts and unforgiveness can become a terminal illness of your soul. You may know someone in our church family. I do. This is a malignancy. And it is tearing this person apart. And they won't let go. Invite Jesus to cut it out. Invite Jesus to cut it out. And if it's going on today, invite him to cut it out today. Get it? Let's pray. Abba, thank you so very much for this series that you've walked us through. Thank you for the practicality of it. It's so rich and wonderful to know that the love of your Son is such that he wants to heal our wounds. So he invites us to admit them to him, release the offender as we've been released ourselves, as having offended your Son and you and the Holy Spirit. Help us, Father, to let go of the old lies with Jesus' truth. Let us replace them with your Son's truth and refocus on the future, getting support from others and taking it upon ourselves to come alongside and to be a blessing from you as we help others. Father, I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.